We've been looking at a series on questions that we ask, and we've looked at several different questions. And if you haven't been able to be here because of the weather or sickness or whatever, you know, I'd encourage you to pick up a handout. The handout is not the same as the message, but it's something I composed to sort of give you a little bit of time to meditate on it during the week and maybe reflect upon the various questions. But last week we were looking at, does God exist? And this past week, or I should say Time Magazine, interviewed Richard Dawkins again, who wrote The God Delusion. And he says that, just for your information, that we should not label our children and we should not call them Christian because, as he reminds us, religion is delusional and it's the reason why we have all the problems in our world today. And so, you know, we are fighting this kind of belief and radical teaching that God does not exist, and he does exist. And so those handouts are out there, the messages, Rick puts them online if you want to share and listen to them there as well. But today we're going to be looking at this question that we sometimes ask is, God, do you really answer prayer? God, do you really answer prayer? And what we have discovered is that this is Americans, okay, this is not around the world, but just Americans. 98% of all Americans pray once in a while, and 54% say that they pray every day. And so that makes prayer in America one of the most common of all activities upon, you know, in our country today, not just in our planet, but in our own nation today. And yet every one of us have had those questions about life, and that is, does God really hear my prayers? Is God is really listening to my prayers? And if he's listening to my prayers, why isn't he answering my prayers? I think about Larry Crabb, who's a Christian counselor and a psychologist, and he says that when I was young, I read a verse in the Bible, he says, from Matthew 21, and it says, if you really believe Jesus and ask anything in Jesus' name, that you would receive it. You know, God would give it to you. And he says, so I remember running outside and looking up at the sky and then closing my eyes and saying, God, I want to fly like Superman. And I believe that you can help me, so I'm going to jump, and then you take it from there. And he said, every day I'd go out and I'd lift up my eyes to heaven and say, God, I want to be like Superman. You know, I'm going to jump. You take it from there. He says, so I would jump, only to land about 3 feet down further the driveway, and about a second later. And he said, I couldn't understand here. I mean, I was asking, I was believing, but I wasn't receiving. And he says, thus began my 50-year confusion about prayer. My 50-year confusion about prayer. Rabbi Zechariah, great Christian defender of the faith, and written many, many books. He has his own radio program that some of you may listen to. Says that one day he was in a car with another gentleman, and they were saying, you know, Ravi, I don't know whether I can trust God any longer. Because I pray and I pray, and God isn't answering my prayers. In fact, he says, everything that I ask for, the opposite seems to come to being in my life. He says, I prayed that my parents would live, so that they would see my children grow up, and they did not live. I prayed that my marriage would be a success, and the marriage wasn't a success. I prayed that my kids would be grateful to God, and they're not in church today. He said, I prayed that my business would be successful and prosperous, and my business is not prosperous. He says, everything I prayed for, the exact opposite seemed to happen. I don't know whether I can trust in God any longer. And how many of you have ever been there? You've prayed and prayed and prayed. I've been there. You've prayed and prayed, and it seems like the exact opposite comes into being, or it happens somewhere else, but not here. And I'm saying, God, you know, why is this? I'm praying, I think, according to your will. God, why aren't you answering? Well, Rabbi Zechariah said, one, he felt genuine sorrow for that individual. You know, he felt like here he was praying, but God wasn't holding up his end of the deal. And secondly, he felt absolutely helpless. And I know that there are times in our life, and I know people have come to me and they've asked, why is it that God hasn't answered my prayers? And you do feel helpless because, you know, you pray and you believe and you hope to receive, and God is not really asking. How do we respond to all of that? Some of you may remember the cartoon strip Calvin and Hobbes, and I know that that's pretty small to see, but it says over here, it says, if I was in charge, we'd never see grass between October and May. He says, one, three, on three, ready, one, two, three, snow! Okay, well, I know we're not praying that, okay, but one, two, three, snow! I said, snow, come on, snow, snow! Okay, then, don't snow. See what I care. You know, I like this weather, let's have it forever. Please, soon, snow, please, just a foot, okay, 8 inches? That's all, come on, 6 inches even? How about 6? I'm waiting! Ugh. Do you want me to become an atheist? Now, I don't think that any of us would become an atheist because we have snow out there today. And who of you in here prayed for that snow? Okay? And we'll see who it was. You prayed for the snow? All right. Well, you can't become an atheist because it snowed outdoors. But every one of us, you know, we deal with these questions about life and why it is that our prayers are not being answered. You know, on my text message, and also this happens on emails as well, but you know, if you send an email, there's ways of being able to say that that email was delivered and read. Now, on my text message, I know that that's true. And it's not on every phone because some of you may have this turned off. But if I send a text out, it will say this on the text. It will say delivered. And then what's really cool is it will also bring up the word read if the text has been read by the receiving party. Wouldn't it be cool if we could pray our prayers and they would ascend up into heaven and it would say delivered? You know, they're in God's inbox. And it would even be more cool if when God read the prayer, that it would come back says read. Wouldn't that be cool? Really? You know that? It's been delivered and the prayer has been read. Now here's my dilemma. When I see the prayer has been read or delivered, I should say, and then read, and no answer is coming, you know, I get anxious and I begin to say, why aren't they responding? Why aren't they answering back? Why aren't they saying, okay, I received it. Why? And the same thing happens in regards to our prayers. Delivered, read. Wait a minute, God, how come you're not responding? Why are you not saying something about, you know, the answer's on the way? No, it's not there. Answered, delivered, read. Okay, let's look at this. First of all, let's ask ourselves about prayer this morning and ask ourselves what prayer is. First of all, prayer is first and foremost developing a relationship with God. It's developing a relationship with God. When I go back and I think about how prayer, and we've been given the opportunity to pray, I say, what a great privilege it is to pray to the creator of this universe. Isn't that cool? I mean, we can talk to the one who created everything. Sun, moon, stars, who created each and every one of us. We can pray to God. And I think about Adam and Eve. They were walking in the cool of the garden, paradise. And it says that God was walking and communing with them. And that's what prayer is. You know, we're walking with God along the river. Can you picture this in your mind? Under the tree of life. And God is there walking with us, and he's communing with us, and he's sharing with us, and he's just teaching us. And there's this relationship with God that is just so great because we're able to talk with the one who made all things in life. So prayer is first and foremost developing a relationship with God. But notice secondly, prayer is allowing God's will to influence and mold my will. Friends, prayer is not simply something that I go to God in order to get. And oftentimes we treat God in this way. We go to God in order to get. We want God to give us things and give us these things right now. But that's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is not this magical key. It's not this kind of a coin that we insert in a slot machine and pull the lever and God spits out an answer for it. You know, prayer is allowing God to mold my will. I think about a fifth grade class. And they were learning the capitals of the world. And this father came home, and his fifth-year-old daughter was walking around the living room, and she was saying, Tokyo, 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 Tokyo. He thought, what in the world is she doing, Tokyo, Tokyo? And he said, dear, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm praying. And he said, well, that's the oddest prayer that I've ever heard. You know, why are you praying Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo? And she said, well, we had a test in school today, and I was just praying that God would make Tokyo the capital of France, you know? That's not the way it works, friends. I don't care how much you pray that God makes Tokyo the capital of France, it's not going to work. It just doesn't work that way. You see, the point of prayer is not to get God to give me what I want. The prayer is for me to get in line with God's will and to orbit around God's will. Just as the earth orbits around the sun, my life is meant to orbit around the Son of God. And my will is meant to orbit around his will in my life. You remember when Jesus was in the garden? And here he was confronting this agony of carrying this cross up a hill and dying for your sins and mine. And he said to the Father in heaven, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. I mean, I don't want to do this. Lord, I don't want to die on the cross. And yet he said, not my will, but yours be done. Many years earlier, he had said to his disciples, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that your kingdom rule would be in my life. I pray that your will would occur in my life. That your will would not only be happening in my life, but your will would be happening in my family's life, in my church life, in my community's life, in the life of my nation. Lord, may my life revolve around yours. May my life be molded according to your example. And may I truly bring praise and glory unto you. And then here, prayer is listening to God. And this is really a hard part, because how many of you have ever talked to somebody who, man, they love to talk, but they don't listen much, okay? And you try to get a word in edgewise, and they're just going, you really don't want to butt in, because, you know, that's sometimes rude, but we have to. And there are times in our life when we're talking with God, and we're talking, and God has to come along and say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And we need to step back and just practice some of this listening prayer and allow God to speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us in our own heart and life. God wants us to listen to his pleas, listen to his word, and listen to his desires for our life. So prayer is developing that friendship with God. It's learning how to revolve around God, let our lives orbit around his life. And then it's listening to God. But let's go back to this. How does God answer prayer? And does he always answer prayer? Yes, God always answers prayer. He always answers prayer. And we've always heard this, you know, we've always heard these common answers here. He answers with a yes. And I don't know about you, but we all love the yeses, right? How many of you love when God answers your prayer? Yes, we celebrate the yeses. I mean, that's the time when we have all the testimonies in the church. You know, when God answers a prayer, yes, that's the time we celebrate. But how many times do we get up and say, wow, God hasn't answered my prayer yet. Praise God. We don't do that, do we? We don't celebrate the waits, because we're impatient people. I'm impatient. You know, when I pray a prayer, I want God to answer that prayer, and I want him to answer it now. But that's not the way it really happens in life. So, yes, we celebrate. Then he says, well, not yet, wait. But he also says, no. No. And those are not what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the no's. But oftentimes I find that our no's and God's no's lead to a greater yes. You know, there's all sorts of unanswered prayers in Scripture. And when I think about the unanswered prayers of Jesus in the garden, again, he wasn't released from having to bear that cross on Calvary. You know, he had to bear that cross. I think about Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you know, I prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn in my flesh. I prayed, I pleaded with God, I begged God, remove this thorn, and God didn't remove it. And yet what happens, his no became a greater yes, and in the midst of all that, he says, Paul, I'll give you the strength, and I'll give you the grace to bear it through. Again, prayer is not a get-out-of-jail trump card kind of a thing, you know. It's not an easy way that we just, again, put a coin in there and flip the handle. Prayer is allowing God to work in my life in such a way that he gives me the power and the strength to make it through the difficult circumstance of my life. He gives me what I need in the midst of all of that to bear it up. In fact, prayer transforms me. Prayer gives me the ability to make it through those things in my life. And then I go back to this. Yes, not yet, and no. But I want to say one more thing about this. You know, we say, well, yeah, God answers your prayer, yes. No, he says wait. No, he says no. But regardless of all of that, I don't care how it is that God answers our prayer, whether it be a yes or a wait or a no. I want to come to that point in my life where I'm able to say, God, I don't know what the answer is going to be, but whatever the answer is, I trust that you are good, and I'm going to lean upon that goodness. You know, to me, that really boils down to why it is that I pray, and even the unanswered prayers. You know, I'm not going to sit there and seek for an answer, but I am going to trust God. Job says, even though you slay me, yet I'm going to trust in you. You may not answer the way that I want you to answer, but I'm going to trust in you because I believe that you are good. And I'm not going to stop trusting in you. I'm going to trust in you regardless. Now, let's go back and look at this. What do we do when the prayers are not answered in our life? Well, one is we keep on praying. We keep on praying. Sometimes God's answers are delayed. And if we don't believe this, look at this concept of spiritual warfare in your life. You know, in the book of Daniel prayed, and God sent an answer, but it was delayed in the heavenlies. So not only does the adversary, the spiritual adversary, delay the answers to prayer, but sometimes our own fleshly nature delays the answers to God's prayers in our life. You know, maybe we ask selfishly, or maybe we ask sinfully, or maybe our motives are not quite right. But you know, we are to keep on praying. And I think about Luke 18, the persistent widow who comes to the judge at night, and she knocks on the door and he doesn't come, and she keeps on knocking. And Jesus says there, he says, I want you to keep on asking, I want you to keep on seeking, I want you to keep on knocking, and the answer will come. Ask, seek, and knock. So keep on praying. Keep on praying regardless of the answer, regardless of the delayed answer. When your answers are not coming, keep on praying. Secondly, give God the right to answer in any way that he desires. And this is why we really come alongside and we say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I'm praying this prayer, but I want to submit myself to your sovereign will in my life. And that's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I have up there a quote, and this quote, J.I. Packer and Tim Keller both have said this, and I really has imprinted itself in my own heart. He says, God will answer all of our prayers exactly like we would answer all of our prayers if we knew what he knew. And that just sort of hit me upside the head, and I think it's a good answer. God will answer all of our prayers exactly like we would answer all of our prayers if we knew what he knew. I mean, God is good. And we entrust our lives to him. I think about a situation in the life of Hezekiah, who was a king of Israel. And Hezekiah was on his deathbed, and he came before the Lord, and he said, Lord, I want to live. I just want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live another 10 years at least. And God granted that prayer. And then I step back and I say, you know, wow, look what happened to Hezekiah. Those next 10 years of his life were the most miserable life or most miserable years in his life ever. God knew, you know, what would be best for his life. And, you know, this gets into a really thorny issue here. But nonetheless, what I'm trying to say is that God answers our prayer if we knew what he knew in our own life. How many of you remember the story of Rudy? You know, Daniel Rudy Rudiger? I know it's 20 years old, but, you know, nonetheless, you could still watch it. And Rudy is actually a young kid, a teenager. He wants to go to Notre Dame. He's been raised in Gary, Indiana. And his dad works in the steel mill, and his brother works in the steel mill, and he works part-time there, but he has this desire to go to Notre Dame and to play football. Well, as you can see from the picture, he's not big enough for football. I mean, you know, he's about here, and football players are like giants. But he writes a letter to Notre Dame, and they reject him. One is he doesn't have very good grades, and the result of that is he has dyslexia, and that's a challenge of his life as well. And so he goes to Father Cavanaugh, and he asks Father Cavanaugh, who's the administrator of Notre Dame, he says, what do I need to do to get accepted into Notre Dame? And he advises him to go to a junior college and to improve his grades. And so he goes to this junior college to improve his grades, and then he writes back and asks for acceptance to Notre Dame. They reject him. He writes again. They reject him. He writes again. They reject him. And the next time around, the fourth time around, you know, that's the final time. If he's not accepted that time, he's never going to be able to apply again. Well, what Rudy says to Father Cavanaugh as they meet in the chapel is this. He says, well, Father, maybe I haven't prayed enough. And how many times have we asked that in our life? Maybe God isn't answering my prayers because I haven't prayed enough. Maybe God isn't answering my prayers because, you know, I'm not spiritual enough. Maybe he's not answering my prayers because, you know, I don't go to church enough. Maybe he's not answering my prayers because I don't have enough faith. I mean, how many of you have ever heard say, well, if you just have faith, you remember Larry Crabb? If I only have faith, I can fly like Superman. It didn't come into being, did it? He had all sorts of faith. Maybe if I haven't, you know, maybe if I just have whatever, fill in the blank, maybe I haven't prayed enough. And Father Cavanaugh says, well, I'm sure that's not the problem. You know, praying is actually something we do in our time, and the answers come in God's time. And Rudy comes back and he says, well, you know, have I done everything possibly I can? Can I do something else? Can you help me? And Father Cavanaugh says, well, Rudy, there's two things I have learned in life. One, there's a God, and two, I'm not him. You know, we all need to come to that point in our life where we trust that there is a God, and there is a God. And that God is good, and God knows all things about my life that I don't know myself. And so I surrender myself into his hands, submit to his will, and allow him to work in my life. And then notice thirdly here, I keep on doing what I know is right. Friends, sometimes we're tempted like Calvin to do what? Well, I guess I'll become an atheist. God didn't send the snow, I'll become an atheist. I'll teach you, God. If you're not going to answer my prayers, I'll just walk away. I won't read the word anymore. I won't go to church anymore. I'll be an atheist. Well, what good is that going to do? You know, I mean, we can either walk with our problems. You know, we can walk without God. We can walk through our problems with God or without God. You know? Think about Jesus, who one day was very discouraged, and he said to his disciples, you know, will you leave me like all the others have left me? And the disciples say to Jesus, well, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. I mean, if we walk away from God, you know, what's the result of that? It's enduring the situation that we have without God. But I find that in my life that prayer connects me with God. And prayer directs me towards God. And when I pray, I find strength. When I pray, I find His grace. When I pray, I find wisdom when I don't have any clue about how to live my life. When I pray, God comes along and He supports me and He holds me. Even when I don't know how to pray, His Spirit intercedes for me at the throne with words that I can't even utter. God is there. God works with me. God works for me. And I can trust in Him. That's what He said to Paul. He said, Paul, you know, I'm not going to answer that prayer, but I'll tell you what. I will give you the grace that you need to make it through this situation. My grace is sufficient for you. Now think of this prayer that Admiral Chester Nimitz wrote. He was, you know, he was on the front lines. He was the head of the whole shooting match out in the Pacific during World War II. And he said this, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. And I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all the things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. You see, God answers in ways that we don't want. We often want things, and God grants us the very virtues and character qualities that we need to make it through those things. And if that prayer doesn't touch your heart, go back, you know, several years ago to Garth Brooks, and he had a hit song called Thank God for an Answered Prayer. And you can go and look up the lyrics on that if you want, but you know it was a hit song, Thank God for an Answered Prayer. What I want to say this morning is every one of us have questions sometimes. And we wonder why God is not answering, if God really cares. You know, has God read the message? Why isn't He sending the answer? But I do know this, that my God is sufficient, that my God hears my prayers, and that my God will give me exactly what I need at that point in time to make it through that difficult situation. And He will provide for me in ways that I cannot even begin to imagine or even think. Because my God is good, and my God loves me, and my God loves me so much that He walks with me every single day. You know, sometimes I have the questions, but even the questions I can surrender to God, because even though He slay me, as Job says, I'm still going to trust Him. I'm still going to talk to Him. You know, every single one of us have known what it's like to have a little child or a grandchild. What happens, you know, something, you know, they don't get the ice cream, they don't get the ice cream cone, and they turn around to their parents or their grandparents, and they say, you know, I don't like you. Well, the next moment, what are they doing? They're hugging you and climbing on your lips or your lap and you know, just having a fun time of their life. Well, God is a good God. He doesn't do anything that's going to harm us. He always wants to bless us, and He knows what's best for our life. Amen. Well, precious Lord, we come to You today, and Father, we know that we struggle with these issues of our life, and every single one of us have been disappointed because You didn't answer in the ways that we thought or had planned. But Lord, help us to understand that You know things that we don't know. And so help us to pray as if, you know, we would know what You would know, and we would answer the same way. Lord, help us to understand that we might not receive the things, but we always receive the grace. We always receive the strength to make it through. And therefore, we trust You, we lean upon You, and Lord, we lay our lives into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.